Amen. If you have your Bible tonight, turn to Ezra chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9 in verse 1. The Bible says, "Now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, 'The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites and Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, Ammonites and Moabites, the Egyptians and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, and the hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in this trespass. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard and sat down astound. Then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of God of Israel because of the transgression of those that had been carried away, and I sat astound unto the evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice I rose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blushed to lift up my eyes to thee, my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass has gone up into the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day. And for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered in the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, to the spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. And now for a little space grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God might lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by thy servant the prophet, saying, The land unto which ye go to possess it is an unclean land with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness. Now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. And after all that is come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespasses, seeing that thou, our God, hast punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and hast given us such deliverance as this, should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations, shouldest not thou be angry with us till thou hast consumed us, so that there should be no remnant nor escaping. O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this." As we see this tonight, and I want to preach for just a little while on this thought, if God will be my help, on what's missing. A question, what is missing? Amen. What's missing? We see this here, and he says in chapter 9, verse 1, he said, "Now when these things were done..." Now, what he's talking about is what had transpired to the Israelites, where they'd been in captivity. God Almighty had allowed them to go into captivity, had allowed them to go into bitter bondage, and God had begun to bring them out. I believe there's some folks here in this church has been in some bitter bondage. I believe there's some folks in this church has been caught up for a while, but I believe God's beginning to bring us out. I believe God's beginning to lift us out. I believe God's beginning to set us free. I believe God's beginning to give me liberty, praise God. Amen? And we're taking that liberty, praise the Lord, for His glory, to lift up the precious name of the Lord. But we see what has transpired as God begins to bring them out of captivity. He begins to release them, and He begins to give them those material things that they need as they go back to reestablish Jerusalem and reestablish the worship the way it's supposed to be in the house of God. Amen. The reason God will withdraw Himself from the house of God is because of those people that's in the house. Amen. When we defile His house with ungodliness and bad attitudes and bad things, praise God, that's contrary to His Word. Praise God, He has to deal with the house. And the Bible said the judgment begins at the house of God. Amen. God will begin to judge us and help us, praise God. And He does it to encourage our hearts. To get us, we'll get you and I where we need to be, praise God, so we can be a blessing and encouragement to each other, so we can be blessing and encouragement to those in the world that's lost and undone without God. Amen? So He gives us the opportunity to be able to help those that need helping. Amen? And to receive the help that we need. So the Bible tells, if you read over in chapter 8, of Ezra, God begins to give them all those things that they needed to set this thing up. So God's delivered them from bondage, delivered them out of bondage. I ask you a question tonight, and only you know your heart. Is there something tonight that's holding you in bondage? Is there something tonight that's keeping a hold, got such a hold on you, praise God, that you can't seem to break free from it? When the children of Israel is down in Egypt, praise God, they begged God to deliver them from the strong hand of their taskmasters. And you know what God did? God heard their pleas and He came to where they were and delivered them out of that bondage. Now, type of Egypt is a type of the world, and the world gets all over us. But praise God, the bondage of the world don't need to be on a child of God. We can't escape if we'll come to God Almighty, bow down on our face, and say, God, I'm in bondage. Call it out. Praise God. Hey, whatever it is that's holding you back, that's got you in bondage, ask God to touch it. Praise God. Ask God to take it away. Ask God to deliver you from it. Amen. Take it out of your life. Amen. You say, preacher, what would people think? They just think, praise God, you're wanting to get right with God. Wanting to get where you could have some victory. So you could shout, praise God, when everybody else does. Amen. Praise the Lord. Instead of pouting, we ought to be shouting. Amen. We're getting over in shouting ground. In case you ain't noticed, praise God, folks are getting excited because we're getting ready to go out of here. I wouldn't want to think that there's something that's got me in bondage, Brother Jeff, that's keeping me from getting in, worshiping God, and praising Him like I'd like to. Now, pray God, if you're a child of God tonight, you ought to want to praise the Lord. You ought to want to lift up the name of Jesus, praise God, because He's brought you out of bondage. But if there's something that's still holding on to you, or let me rephrase that, if there's something that's got a hold of you, praise God to help, beg God to just help you get rid of that's got you. Amen. So you can shout the victory. Amen. Praise the Lord. God will give you victory if we ask Him. If we ask believing, praise God. He said anything we ask believing according to His will. And we know if there's something that's got us body, something that's keeping us from getting closer to God, praise God, it's His will that we get rid of that. Amen. I don't know why God told me to say that, but somebody here tonight need to hear it. God can deliver you from bondage. Amen? So they was delivered out of bondage. And God sent them back to their land. In other words, they start heading, Brother Bud, back toward the promise. Amen? When you get out of bondage, praise God, and things quit holding you back and holding you down, praise God, you can get over into promised land. You can get over into the shouting places. You get over that good grace of God where He just pours out upon you in the abundance, the goodness of God. Amen. Now, I know everybody in here knows what I'm talking about. We've seen it running over here. Amen. Just in the last few months, we've seen God just pouring out, just saturating this place. Amen. And I don't know about you, I want part of that. Amen. I want to be in on it. So I've been asking God, I've been begging God, please God, search me, show me my fault. Show me my shortcomings. Show me the errors of my way so I can fix them. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we see Israel, they come out. Ezra says that they brought them out and they begin to give them all the articles, all the material things that they ever thought they could need. Hello? Did you hear what I said? That they had given them every material thing they thought they would ever need. He said, they supplied it. He said, now when these things were done, all the supplies, the gold, the silver, all the priests, the Levites, everybody was in their place. Everybody had the goods that they needed. Everything was a running pretty. Amen. Kind of reminds me of America today. The America that I live in today is not the America that I was born into almost 56 years ago. Amen. Our country has changed so much, praise God. If my granddaddy could come back today, he wouldn't even recognize it. Why? Because we've been caught up in bondage because we got all these material things. Amen. All the material things that none of us want for anything. None of us had to pray over a meal. I mean, other than just asking a blessing, haven't had to pray for it. God's always been there to supply our needs. I haven't. I've never wanted for anything. Now, when me and my wife got married and we was trying to make ends and make a home and things, hey, it was times things come too short. But praise God, God always kept peanut butter and a loaf of bread in our house. We got a running joke now, praise God. If we run out of peanut butter, we say, oh my goodness, God's let us down. Amen. So we've always had peanut butter and some light bread. Amen. God be the glory. Sometimes you'd even get granny's jelly. Praise God. If you got peanut butter and jelly and some light bread, praise God, you're good to go. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for granny. Amen. She never lets you go like that. Praise God. That's one thing I liked about Miss Rathbone. Praise God. As long as she is alive, I'd go visit her. And she'd say, Linda, go in there and get the preacher a jar of jelly. Boy, old Jeff would puff up because he said, she's giving away my inheritance. Amen. Praise God. And it seemed like every time I was just about out, Granny would send me another one. Glory to God. Amen. God will supply. But he said, listen. And he said, we got in there. We had everything going for it. Had all the goods the world had to offer coming our way. We're just so blessed. But you know what happened? We don't take time to thank God for the blessings that he gives us. And he's just pouring them out on us. Amen. We've got cars and houses and boats and lands and properties, and we don't thank God for it. Amen. He's giving to us. He was supplying the need, and they weren't thankful. What'd they do? They went in and had all these stuff supplied. But what was missing, they went in and started having relations with these other nations. Amen. Ungodliness, they begin to invite ungodliness into their midst. And the Bible says that Ezra here said he was astonished. Said he sat astoned, amen, at what had happened. Amen. He sat astonished at the lack of separation that was there, even though God had blessed them personally. When everybody else was a hunting and seeking, digging, praise God, to have, God was a blessing them and a giving them and a prospering them and sending them on their way, praise God, with everything they would need. Amen. But he said they failed to separate themselves from the world. Amen. You say, why should they separate themselves? They should separate themselves from the world and separate themselves unto God. Amen. Now, I don't know how many times I've preached this, but we got to separate ourselves from the world and separate ourselves. But if we can't separate ourselves from the world, I think I preach that too much without telling you the whole story. We got to separate ourselves from the world and separate ourselves unto God. Amen. Make Him priority one. Focus on Him and His goodness, His mercy, His love, and what He has for us, what He's already blessed us with, and just begin to praise Him for it, and to praise Him for His goodness, and praise Him for His care, and praise Him for His love. Amen. Separate. He said he was amazed at the lack of separation that they had as they come in there. And he said, I was astonished not only at the lack of separation, but he said, I was astonished at the willingness to compromise. I thought about this the other day. There was a fellow was talking, and he was talking about the compromises that the church was having to make in order to get people in. Hello? Now, the last time I looked, God don't have no compromising to get people in. Amen. What God has is salvation, praise God, of the Holy Ghost. That'll get people in. I don't care how much a church compromises. All they'll do is compromise away the will of God. They'll compromise away the Spirit of God, and it'll be gone. Amen. But he said he was astonished at the willingness that they had to compromise. You can look around the world today, man, the church has compromised itself, plumb out of business. I mean, literally, just in this immediate area, in Buncombe County, churches have compromised themselves out of business. I don't know about you, praise God. I don't want to be a part of some compromising church. I want to be a church that's, praise God, rooted in the precious King James Bible, the Word of God and truth, praise God, that'll make us free to worship God. It'll tell us when we're doing things that's sorry no account. It'll show us the error of our ways and the goodness of God's. But Ezra said, I was astonished. And I said, just astonished at the lack of separation and the willingness in the church, in the people, to compromise. We're seeing a compromise in the world today like I've never seen before. We've compromised God so much that we've compromised Him plumb out of most places. Hello? Where God used to be center, praise God, in our government, in our churches, in our schoolhouses, in our homes, praise God. We've kicked God out, we've put God out, and we've got something else trying to take His place. But my Bible says that God is a jealous God. And He's not going to let nothing take His place. So here we stand in the brink of the face and the wrath of God. Amen? Because of a lack of separation, because of a lack of, or a willingness to compromise the things of God. Amen. I love God. I love the Word of God. I love God's Word. I love it straight. I love it true. Praise God. You can't get it too straight for me. I said, for you may preach it straighter than I can live it, but you'll never preach it straighter than I like it. Amen. I like the truth. I said, for I don't want nobody to lie to you. You don't either. We want people to tell us the truth. Amen. But he said a lack of the willingness to compromise. But not only said this, did he said astonished at the lack of separation, willingness, constant, but he said ashamed of where they were. I can see Ezra in my mind as he sits there and he ponders this. He said, Lord, how did we ever get here? You brought us out of bondage. You delivered us. You give us everything we need to set the worship and the house of God in order. How did we ever come to this place? And he said, ashamed, couldn't even raise his eyes up to God at where they were. Verse 6, he said, they were like a drowning people. Amen. He said, Lord, we're in over our heads. He said, I look around here and I thought, what's going on? And he said, I didn't even see the waters arising, but the waters of sin was rising up. He said, till the waters was overflowed us, till the waters of sin, the waters of disobedience were overflowing us. He said, they were over our head. Amen. It don't take very long in this world, praise God, you can get in over your head. Amen. It don't take but just a little while for you and me to get in over our heads. You say, preacher, how do we get that? Praise God, when you see the waters of strife, the waters of worldliness, the waters of uncommitment, the waters of strife begin to come up, praise God, we need to hit our face and cry out to God. Amen. Say, Lord, help me. That's still the only way to survive. But Ezra said, he said, I'm ashamed of where we are. Said, we didn't see the tide wave of sin coming in. Have you ever been to the beach? Anybody ever been to the beach? Coast to coast. Amen. Have you ever went out there and went out on the beach and before the tides start to come in You know, they tell you down at the coast all the time what time the tide will be coming in. And you go down there on that beach, you walk out as far as you can to the edge of the water. And then that tide starts coming in. Amen? And if you ain't paying attention, it'll be up around your knees or up your waist before you know it. That tide starts coming in. Ezra said, that's the way we were. He said, we should have seen the tide of coming in. Amen. He said, Lord, I'm ashamed to say that we didn't see the tide of ungodliness come in, praise God, till it overtaken us over our head. Amen. I'm glad God controls that. I've said before, it amazes me that when the tide comes in, and it comes inland, it comes across the beach, and they got a lot, most places got, hotels and stuff lined up along the beach. And they'll have a little pier or something there, a little barrier, and the water comes up and it laps up on that thing. And then it goes back out. You know why? Because God says, hey, listen, the tide comes in. But praise God, He said, when it gets to a certain spot, God says, that's enough. Amen. That amazes me. That's the best part I like about going to the coast. When I see that tide coming in, praise God, and it comes in and it comes in and it washes and all of a sudden it just stops. And then it goes back out. Amen? It's just like God says, that's what God still does. He said, I'm ashamed that we let it get this far because God, I know You have it in control, and if we'd just call upon Your name, when we see it start coming in, You could say, hold it, stop right there. Amen? So that the waters don't overflow us. So we don't get in over our heads. Amen. He said, the waters is overflowing. He said, like a drowning man. But then verse 8, he said, it was like a little nail. Amen. A little nail in the wall. A little bitty nail. Amen. It's kind of like taking a little finished nail and putting it into this drywall and trying to hold something big and heavy on it. Have you ever tried that? My wife has. Amen. It took me a while to get her to understand that when you hang something, you have to put that into a stud. If you don't put it into a stud and you try to hang something on it, eventually it'll just vibration and stuff in the house, it'll wiggle and it'll fall down. Or if you bump up against the wall or bump a doorway, it comes falling down. But he said, what's happening? He said, I'm ashamed. He said, our lives are like just like a little bitty nail that we're trying to hold the whole world up on. The whole nation, which they're trying to hang it on just a teeny tiny nail, praise God, and said it don't work. He said, we need, praise God, the nails that held Jesus Christ on the cross, praise God, to be those nails, praise God, of redemption that holds us fast and sure. Amen. He said, I'm ashamed. It's like little old bitty nails. At your past. He said, you're hanging your whole future on a little old bitty finish nail. Amen. Praise God. If I'm going to hang my whole future on something, praise God. But Tim, you know what I'm going to hang her on? I'm going to get me one of the big old long 3-inch leg bolts. Praise God. I'm going to find me a big heavy stud. I'm going to fill me a pilot hole and I'm going to screw her in there. Praise God. Until she's deep where I can hang it on there or my future will be secure. And the only way to hang, I won't say that leg bolt we need tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, praise God. Death, burial, and His resurrection. Amen. Not some little old bitty tack. Not some little old bitty finish nail. He said, Lord, I'm ashamed what we're trying to hang our future on. We're trying to hang our future on the promises of some other man, some other society, some other people. We're trying to hang our promises, our future for our whole world, for our families, our loved ones, our children, our spouses, our home. We're trying to hang it on a finish nail. Amen. See, I think when old Ezra, I got to think about this. I know I think too much. I got to think about old Ezra. He sat there and he was pondering that during that day till the time of the evening sacrifice. And this, I believe this stuff was going through his mind. He said, God, man, we just missed the mark. Amen. He said, we're just way out there, Lord. We need some help. He said, I'm astonished. He said, I'm astonished. He said, I'm ashamed. He says, not like only like a drowning man and like a little nail. He said, it's like a remnant. Verse 8. He said, it's like a remnant. He said, I'm ashamed. We're just like a little bitty remnant that's supposed, just a few people in number, that's supposed to be setting up a line of defense for our families, our home, and the sanctuary. And so there's just a few, praise God. He said even the chief leaders and the priests, praise God, were partakers of this lack of separation. And he said it's brought us down. It's destroying us. He said we don't have enough people to build a line. Amen. I wonder sometimes if we got enough people that would volunteer to form a line. Amen. If the Lord said, "Lay less in Stony Fork, I'm coming tomorrow," and if you all get together and form a line, praise God, in front of your families and your homes and your loved ones, praise God, in unity and one mind and one accord, I'll save them all today. God help us, youngins. Would he get enough to fall in, praise God, to form that solid line, amen, of defense to save our youngins? He said, "I'm ashamed, Lord." He said, "I don't think we'd even find a remnant, enough people to serve as a wall." Amen. He said, "We'd have breaks." Amen. "We'd have breaches where the enemy could come in." He said, "Lord, that's what happened." Amen. That's what's happened. He said, "They came in and said, 'We've left. There's not enough. There's only a remnant. There's not enough people who's willing to form a wall." Need enough to form a line of defense, Brother Jeff. Amen. But between us and our loved ones and the wiles of the devil. Amen. This is serious business. Amen. This is serious. Let me just say this too. Now, this is a serious place. Amen. This ain't a place where we come to play. I know we cut up and go on some, but pray God, this needs to be a serious place where we need to come to do business with God. Where we need to get a hold of Him so that He can get a hold of us. So He'll come to where we are, praise God. Come to where you are. So He'll come in there, praise God, and sit down beside you on your pew. He said, "Listen, you know, there's some things you need to do. You need to pay attention." He said, "I'm trying to tell you from that man up there, he ain't a sweating and a slobbering and a screaming and hollering and reading you Word of God, amen, for his health. If he's going to do that, he'd be doing it somewhere at a spa. But praise God, he's doing it because I love you." Amen. God loves us, youngins. He just wants to help us. He wants to pour out His goodness on us. And He wants us to be able to receive it into ourselves, every one of us, so we can take it home, praise God, and pass it out in a liberal fashion. Amen. He said, "We got to quit playing church." Amen. They quit playing church. Quit being hypocrites. Need to step out and say, "God, help me to be what I am at the house of God and in my house, in the workplace, in the world, at the shopping mart, at Walmart, praise God. Help me to be a child of God." He said, "I'm ashamed because they're just a remnant. A few here, sporadic, a few here and there and yonder, but there's not enough to build a wall." You know what I'd like to see, Brother Jeff? I'd like to see this face. I'd like to see this place on fire for God, to where, praise God, like we've been doing. When somebody comes with a burden on their heart and in their soul, that they can come and say, "Hey, listen, the brothers and sisters, I need some help tonight. I've got a situation." Amen. And have enough people stand up that's been alone with God. Together around you, praise God, and form a wall. Amen. A wall, a hedge of protection. And pray down the power of God again. He said, "Preacher, that's the way it used to be. What changed?" I got to thinking about this yesterday. I was up there in the woods. And I got to thinking about this. God ain't moved. God ain't changed. God ain't compromised one bit. He's still the same that He's always been. And I was kind of like Ezra. I was astonished how easily we're taken to the side and moved away. Amen. I was ashamed of how we allow stuff to just overflow us over our head to get in a place that we are, amen, without confronting it and without taking it to God, without falling down and saying, "God, help me." Let me just say this. Thank you, Lord. You can talk to God by yourself wherever you are. Brother Bud said he's going down the road in that big old truck today. God just climbed in with him. Amen. He's with us. Hey, he was already there. Amen. He just made his presence big. Amen. He's with him. He promised he would be. From the day he got saved and the Holy Ghost moved in, he's going to be there with him everywhere he goes. So why don't we just put aside our stinking pride and humble ourselves individually and just fall on our face every time that we need help and say, "Oh God, help me please." Amen. You say, "Well, preacher, I'd never get up in church and do that." Well, don't do it at church. Do it at your house. Do it in your car. Do it wherever you're at when God convicts you, when God shows you what you need. Amen. The help He has to give you when He offers it, take it. Amen. Like I said, start now. Open the door. Say, "Lord, just pour it in here. Come on in. Bring it on in, Lord." Amen. Just all you got. I need it all. Amen. Just come in. But he said, ashamed of where they were, what they'd become. The remnant not only was astonished and ashamed, but he was alarmed. Amen. The Bible says in verse 10 that he was alarmed because God's word was revealed. And they disobeyed it. Amen. Has God ever spoke to you and you disobeyed Him? Hello? I'm still preaching up here. Has God ever spoke to you? He's a preacher, how do you, He's never spoken. I've never heard of God audibly speak to me. Amen. Has He ever spoke to you through His Word and you disobeyed Him? Amen. I believe we can all say we have. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, 27 said that's willful sin. When God speaks to our heart through His Word and we sin willfully. Amen? Let me just read that to you. He said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth," that's the Word of God, it's in us, amen, God's given us the knowledge, "there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." Have you ever wondered why some people have to go through what they have to go through? Why there's always contention and strife, just like a lion, always in their face? It's because we're disobedient to God, and God's trying to get our attention, trying to bring us to where we need to be for His glory. But we're not willing. They said that God had given them His Word. His Word had been revealed, but they were disobedient. It also says in Ezekiel chapter 34 or 33, remember I read about how the people came? In Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 30 says, "Also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord." Now, they're bad-mouthing the house of God, the man of God, and the Word of God. But then they say, it's coming from the Lord. Verse 31 says, "And they come unto thee as a people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them." Does that sound familiar? Hello? Does that sound familiar? "For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." In other words, they are caught up in hypocrisy. "And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice." They like to hear the truth. Amen. The truth of God is like a pleasant voice to them. But then they say, "But we're not going to do it." Amen. He said, "A pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not." Amen. The Ezra's saying the same thing here. He said, God's given us His Word. In His revealed Word, He showed us what we need to do, what the help that He has. But He said, we're just disobedient. We won't do it. Amen. Why not? He's God. Hello? He's not your teacher that you had in school at Miss Ball that you didn't like. Because every time you misbehave, she'd pull your hand down and take that little old paddle ball thing, that little round thing that you know you paddle ball with, and she'd... God ain't Miss Ball. God is God. And God does what He does. Amen. He wants to get our attention because He loves us. Now, I don't know about Miss Ball. I don't know if that was love or just she just liked it. But she would use that power. God loves us and He's trying to help us, but we got to be obedient. Amen. He said He's alarmed. God showed us He's revealed to us His Word. Said we were disobedient. He said He's alarmed because God had shown them grace in verse 8. He had showed them grace and said they had no appreciation of grace. Amen. God has showed it. God, I guarantee God showed every one of us His grace many, many, many times. And you know what? We don't appreciate the grace of God. The opportunities that He gives us when He shows us, you know, that He has a better way, has a plan, that He wants to just love on us. And we'll say, well, God, that's okay, but not right now. The mercy of God, the grace of God is wanting to be ministered. He's wanting to minister to us. He's wanting to minister through us, and we won't let Him. We just don't appreciate the grace of God. Amen. But the biggest thing that He said He was alarmed about was that God had held back His punishment. He held back His punishment, and they just took advantage of it. So, hey, God ain't going to strike me dead today, so I'll do it again tomorrow. Oh, me. Amen. God help. There's some situations that I've been praying about, people's asked me to pray about, that people's caught up in. They're supposed to be brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'll just be honest. I just took it to God. I said, God, they've asked of me to pray about this. There's a situation. God, you know what is in that this person's life. And God, if they can't get away from it, God, just kill them. Take them out of it, Lord. They're miserable where they're at, and it's going to kill them anyway, so just take them out. Amen. You say, preacher, you oughtn't to pray that way. Amen. They won't help, praise God, and they won't take the help that God has to give them. Amen. Then maybe God will just have to finish it off. Just take them on home. Amen. If we're children of God, get them out of this mess. Give us deliverance. Give us peace. That peace that Jesus come to give us. I preached about Sunday morning. That new peace, praise God, that the world don't know about. Amen. I preached on that mess. You wasn't here Sunday. I preached on that little ass. That foal of the colt, the foal of an ass. And I never caught that. I've never seen it in a... Commentaries don't ever help me. Because anything that I really had a question about, I don't understand or can't get for myself, Vernon McGee, pray God, he'll skip over it too. Don't help me a bit. But I was praying and a studying on that the other night, praise God, before the Sunday, and God just spoke to my heart, that little ass, amen. The ass speaks of peace. When you come in riding on an ass, it's not to come to battle, but it's come to bring peace. And praise God, when he come in on that little ass that man had never sat on, he was bringing a new peace. Amen. A peace that the world had never known. The peace was Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It was Lord Jesus Christ, Him, a Savior had come to the world. They come to bring them peace, a new peace, and they wouldn't receive it. Amen. I want to say God's bringing us a new peace right now. He's offering us a new peace, and we don't want to receive it. Amen. He offered them an opportunity. He held back punishment. I wonder how many times God, I know God's punished us, but how many times should have God punished us more than He has? That's what He says down here in 13, ain't it? And after all this, it's come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespasses, seeing that Thou art our God has punished us less than our iniquities deserve. Amen. God had offered them, He had held back punishment. Amen. It says right here in verse 13, had held back punishment and they took advantage of Him holding back the punishment. I think that's what we do sometimes. We'll say, well, I'll just do it one more time. They won't nobody know. Well, you're crippled too high for crutches. Because God knows everything you do. He knows everything you think. If He knows everything you think, you know good and well He knows everything you drink. He knows everything you put in your body. Amen. He knows everything that you take. Hey, He does. Everything that you say. Amen. You'll not hide it from Him. It'll be recorded. If you ever have any question, when you stand before Him, He can read it out to you line by line. He keeps really good records. God was doing audio recording place. God, He was doing dictation. He was doing that, praise God, before it's ever thought of here on earth. He was pinning her down, praise God. Amen. But Ezra said, you know what? He said, I'm astonished. He said, I'm ashamed. He said, I'm alarmed at where we've come to, where we're at. Amen. And he said, the reason that we're where we're at now, he said, there's something missing in our lives. There's something missing in the church today. And that, you know what's missing? Separation. Amen. We're missing separation. That's what's missing in the church. We're not separating ourselves from the world and unto God. We have to separate. See, and I know I haven't been telling you this enough. We have to separate ourselves from the world. We can't live like the world. We can't do like the world. We can't do what the world does. But when we separate ourselves from one thing, we have to separate ourselves unto something else. Or something else will fill the void. Amen? So we got to separate ourselves from the world, doing the worldly thing, and separate ourselves unto Christ, looking at the Word of God and the goodness of God and seeking the glory of God to give Him praise, honor, and glory for all He's done in our lives. When we get to doing that, then we start to receive the peace of God that passes understanding. We start to receive the blessings of God and we start to glorify God because He's our God again. What's going to happen in America? If we turn our backs to God, God's going to finally have to say, that's enough. But praise God, if we'll turn back to God. You say, preacher, we've gone too far. Oh no. We've not gone too far. There's nothing. The Bible says there's nothing impossible with God. And He said, if My people, which called My name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. Amen. But we've got to turn around first. Because we're going this way and we've got to turn around toward God and say, God, here am I. Here I am, Lord. Tell me what You want me to do. Show me where You want me to go. Tell me what You want me to say. Amen. Praise God. Have an effect on me so I can have an effect on somebody else. Praise God. And boy, you know what? God just begins to move. He begins to take just old sinners like us, praise God, and begins to, because we realize that there's something missing, and what's missing is separation from the world. Separation unto Christ. Amen. We can do it. We're working on it. It's getting better. Amen. It's getting better. Why? Because I think everybody in here wants to be in the will of God. I believe everybody wants you. I want to think you want to be so that you can help your husband, your wife, your children to be in the will of God. And I see things working. Amen. I see things working in George, my son. I mean, I've been praying and praying because he's so much like me. Virginia, it's scary. It is. It's scary. He's just like me. I mean, he's got the temper and everything. We've been working, he's out of school this week, so after I do all my visits and run around, I've been getting with him, we've been working, we've got to build a line fence. He mashed a far out of his finger the other day, yesterday. And any other time, he might have said something bad. But you know what he said? He went, like you had the lockjaw. I said, you all right? And he said, that hurt. I said, glory to God. I said, son, I'm proud of you. He said, because I'm nice. I said, no, because you didn't say nothing ugly. He said, I didn't even know it. I said, praise God. Didn't even have to think about it. That's God. You say, preacher, that's a little old bitty. Glory, that's big, praise God. See, it starts with little bitty things. Amen. Prayer works, young'uns. Prayer works. Just keep praying. Amen. Lifting up ourselves. Amen. Why? Because hopefully they'll see a change in you and they'll change them. Amen. Praise God. When they when people get to raising their voice now, I try to keep mine down here. Amen. When they want to holler and scream, I'm like, oh, no, it don't help a thing. It's like, boy, God's given me that. Praise God. Brother Tim, God's put that in my heart. I said, God, please help me with my anger issue. And He put things in my heart. Praise God. As an alarm bell goes off. And I said, And it's like, hello, hello. Amen. I said, yes, Lord. He said, ain't no use going there. Amen. Ain't no use going there. Ain't going to help a thing. Probably just make it worse. Praise God. But that's what God can do. When we realize that there's something missing in our lives. See, we can look at other people and say, boy, old Brother Bud, he's got something missing in his life. Now, I've seen things. Praise God, why don't you go look in the mirror? Amen. If you don't have one, we'll loan you one. Amen. You look at ourselves. Look at me. I need God to help me before I can ever help you. Amen. And Ezra said, you know what? He said, there's something missing. Said he plucked his beard, pulled his hair. Hey, look, he got much left. So I keep myself short so I can't get a hold of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. But Ezra says, there's something missing. And he said, youngins, it's separation. It's separation. We haven't separated ourselves unto God. We haven't listened to God. We're not paying attention. God's just trying to help us. To get us where we need to be. Because it's just, we're just almost at that stepping off place. I believe it, Brother Larry. I believe we're just about ready to go home. Amen. Jesus is coming again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bless His heart. Amen. Stand with me.